Next item on the agenda is Henrico County, 05-0852. Mr. Madden, good morning. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to, just to give me a sense of what's going on. Is there anyone here that's going to oppose item five in the audience? Anyone here in opposition to item five at this point? Is there anyone in opposition to item five?
Henrico County.
Henrico County.
Is that the...
That would be the... Okay. All right. Just want to check. Thank you. Proceed. Yep.
The county of Henrico requests authorization to modify and extend a permit to construct two in-stream raw water intake structures with debris deflector, transmission lines, and back flush lines, which will extend approximately 80 feet channelward of ordinary high water in the James River in Cumberland County. The project is protested by an adjacent property owner. The project is located approximately 58 miles northwest of Richmond, 9 miles downstream of Bremo Bluffs, you'll see that here in blue, 3 miles upstream of Columbia, Virginia, where Route 690 crosses the James, here in purple, and 2,000 feet downstream of the confluence of Cobbs Creek and the James River in Cumberland County. The proposed intake structure is a component of the Cobbs Creek Reservoir Project, which is a pump storage facility designed to provide 14.8 billion gallons of raw water storage within a 1,107-acre normal pool area. With this system, raw water will be diverted from the James River into the reservoir when the flow is adequate for storage. Controlled release from the reservoir during low flow periods will enable downstream partners to maintain their respective intake flow rates during droughts. The reservoir project is a regional partnership effort between Cumberland, Henrico, Powhatan, and Goochland counties. While the reservoir itself is authorized by statute and does not require a permit from the commission, the intake structure and associated excavation require approval from VMRC. The project is located in the vicinity of the upstream tip of an in-stream island known as Cobb Island. You'll see it on the topo map here. The distance from the Cumberland County shoreline to Cobb Island is approximately 300 feet. The distance from the Cumberland County shoreline to the far shore, Fluvanna County shoreline, is 420 feet. This aerial photograph describes what I just mentioned. The red arrow, as with the previous slide, the red arrow indicates the approximate location of the intake structures. In 2006, the commission authorized the construction of an 890-foot-long by 75-foot-wide raw water intake structure consisting of six 75-foot-wide by 133-foot-long filter packs with horizontal well screens having 1 millimeter slot widths. The filter packs were to be countersunk, sunk 7 feet below the level of the river bottom and connected to intake pipes and back flush lines. The intakes were permitted to withdraw a maximum of 150 million gallons per day at a maximum permitted velocity of 0.25 feet per second. The authorized infiltration gallery encroached over 65,000 square feet of the river bottom and required the dredging of 15,000 cubic yards of submerged lands. This design is presented on the slide on the left of the screen. I put in a rough estimate of the measurements on the top of the screen. You'll see that we permitted the distance from A to B was 890 feet. Subsequent to the authorization in 2006, it was determined that the filtration gallery withdrawal structure would not operate as designed. As an alternative, the permittee is requesting that the permit be modified to allow the use of a more traditional riverbed sluicing channel design with cylindrical wedge screen intakes. the design is presented on the right. And for comparison purposes only, you'll see that this is a mere 500 feet wide. This slide depicts the two proposed intake structures. The downstream intake will be located approximately 200 feet from the shore of Cobb Island. The upstream intake will be located approximately 400 feet from the Fluvanna County shoreline. The two intake structures, each composed of 10 T-screens, cylindrical assemblies, each 48 inches in diameter and approximately 16 feet long. That's right here. That's what these are. These screens would utilize 1 millimeter slot size, just like the original permit. The array of 10 screens will be arranged within a concrete sluicing channel. That's what this is here. Sorry about that. This is the sluicing channel. And that will direct the flow over the screens. Damage to the intakes will be reduced by the construction of a concrete debris reflector at the upstream end of each of the two intake structures. That's this structure here. This is, of course, upstream. The flow is, as it says right here, down in this direction. The intakes require at least 8 feet of water around them to operate properly. This will require the excavation of 8,000 cubic yards of stream bed. The top of the intakes, debris deflector, and sides of the sluicing channel will be at the 180-foot elevation, right here, which is the minimum depth for pumping. The ordinary high water elevation is at approximately 195-foot elevation. And at low water, at the low water elevation at which the pumping would cease is at the 180-foot elevation. Damage to the intakes will be reduced by the construction of the debris deflector that I mentioned a moment ago. Here it's pictured in cross-section. As you can see, the debris deflector will not exceed the 180-foot elevation. And incidentally, it's very similar to the bottom contour. There's quite a bit of other obstructions in the area, which undoubtedly will be at least that high. The intake streams will not exceed the height of the sluicing channel, nor the 180-foot elevation. And here again, we see the addition here of the intake screens, as if you were looking upstream. Through, this is the sluicing channel. There are the intake screens. The intakes will withdraw at the previous authorized rate and through the screens, which with identical slot sizes to the original permit. This is how one of the two intakes would appear if you were standing on the shoreline during a low water event. As you can see, they will be below that 180. In order to dewater the construction site, a coffer dam will be constructed, which will depend on the flow of the James River at the time of construction, but may be as tall as 15 feet above the stream bed with a maximum 75-foot base width. Installation and later removal of the coffer dam is expected to take from 4 to 6 weeks. The coffer dams are proposed to be removed upon completion of the construction, obviously. The overall square footage of the two intakes is 25,000 square feet, which is a reduction of 40,000 square feet over the original infiltration bed design, which I described earlier. This is the cofferdam. There are the two intakes again, with debris deflectors, intake, back flush lines, Cobb Islands over here, and Fluvanna County, the other side of the James. Since no work ever commenced on the project design, let me rephrase that. Since no work ever commenced and the project design has changed, and Rico County is also requesting the issuance of the modified permit with a new expiration date, extending the period for construction through late December 31st, through at least December 31st, 2017. Here's a ground shot. This was taken earlier. This is a This is the image of the Cumberland County shoreline in the vicinity of the intake structure. I would characterize this as a steep bluff and with overhanging vegetation. Now here the swing is out across the river. This is the view from the James with Fluvanna County in the background. Cobb Island is in the middle ground extending from the right side of the slide. That's Cobb Island. The protestant Mr. Townsend property is located on the Fluvanna side of the James River across from the project site, which is what I've indicated here in red. And also, let me bounce back there real quick. That's Mr. Townsend's property here in the background. Mr. Townsend claims ownership of Cobb Island. Mr. Townsend believes the debris deflector will divert logs and all other floating debris to both sides of the island. According to the agent, in normal flow, the extent of the impact of flow patterns in the James River has already been modeled and shown to not extend across the river. During high flow, the impact will be even less as the deflector size stays constant while the river flow cross-section increases, leading to a proportionately smaller impact to river flows. Also, the diverter will project above the natural bottom by only 2 feet, which is similar to many natural rock formations in this section of the river. I mentioned that earlier. During high flows, the debris deflector will be so far below the river surface as to have little effect on floating debris. It is intended to keep the bed load material from making its way into the sluicing channel. The protestant, Mr. Townsend, believes that there is a potential for accelerated erosion of Cobb Island as a result of the intake construction. According to the agent, construction of the impact will result in a net increase in channel volume of approximately 18,000 cubic feet. On a percentage basis, this will represent a 2.3% increase in total channel volume along the length of the intakes when the James River is flowing at mean low water, at mean winter time flow rate of 8,500 cubic feet per second. Mr. Townsend maintains that the cofferdams will direct turbulent flow against his property and that it might worsen during flash flood events. The proposed work period for construction, use, and removal of the cofferdam is based on the historical pattern of seasonal river flows. Water in the river during the highest flow winter and early spring months is not anticipated. Instead, the placement of the cofferdam is proposed for average to low flow months. Mr. Townsend also is concerned that the impact the backflow flushing might have on the adjacent area. According to the agent, the screen will be cleaned on an intermittent basis using an air burst back flush system that will release compressed air within the cylindrical screens. The air will rush upward through the water column, carrying the debris that collects on the screens up away from the screens and putting it back into the water column. The air creates turbulence in the water over the screens that in a river environment will then move downstream with the river current, but only to the extent that it takes the air to reach the surface. This turbulence will generally be confined within the footprint of the concrete sluice channel and not expected to cause any erosion on the natural riverbank. Mr. Townsend also expressed some concerns over the sediment erosion and the containment during the construction process. According to the agent, once again, once the cofferdam is constructed, all work will occur within the cofferdam, and the main sediment release will be from the discharge of the dewatering system, which will be routed through a sediment capture device in accordance with an approved erosion and sediment control plan for the project. The cofferdam will be constructed of non-erodible materials that should not be a source of significant sediment to the river. During the construction of the cofferdam, the placement of these materials into the flowing river will have the potential to temporarily result in an increase in turbidity immediately downstream of the work area, as the natural sediments overlaying the rock on the river bottom are disturbed, as fine dust and fine material is washed off the bulk cofferdam construction materials. Finally, Mr. Townsend is concerned that the river augmentation strategy employed by the applicant might adversely alter the river flow and impact fish life cycles. As I pointed out earlier, the Cobbs Creek Reservoir Project is a river flow augmentation project that is being designed to improve water flow in the river, especially under low flow conditions, to support a variety of beneficial uses, including fisheries. The schedule for when and what quantity reservoir releases will be made into the river is being developed in conjunction through state and federal agencies' oversight. The Department of Environmental Quality has stated that their existing permit will be modified administratively. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries has indicated that the listed mussels known from this segment of the James River include the state endangered Brooks floater, the state threatened Atlantic pigtoe, and the state threatened green floaters, along with historical records of federally endangered James spiny mussel. DGIF is agreeable to adherence to only the long-term brooder time restriction for the protection of green floaters and Brooks floaters, prohibiting in-stream work from April 15th through June 15th and from August 15th through September 30th of any year. DGIF also recommends that a mussel survey and relocation be performed by a qualified permitted surveyor from the area 15 meters upstream from 20 meters downstream and 5 meters channelward of the intakes. No other state agency has commented on the project.
Mr. Madden, the report indicates that the surveyor from 5 meters upstream through 20 meters downstream and 5 meters channelward of the intake structure.
Yes.
Is it 5 or 15?
5.
Okay, thank you, sir.
5.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Sir.
As a summary and recommendation, gentlemen, staff is sensitive to the impacts the project of this scale may have on adjacent property owners. However, we believe that the present modification incorporates a proven intake design capable of withdrawing 150 million gallons per day at a rate of 0.25 feet per second, which will provide augmented flow to downstream partners during critical low flow periods. For withdrawal and augmented flow will have a beneficial impact on aquatic and fin fish species that might otherwise be stressed during a low flow. Accordingly, after evaluating all the factors contained in Section 28.21205 of the Code of Virginia, staff believes that the benefits of the project outweigh any potential detriments, and therefore we recommend approval of the project with the following special conditions. The permittee shall conduct a mussel survey and relocation prior to cofferdam construction by a qualified permitted surveyor. Their survey and relocation shall include the footprint of the project and shall include an area 5 meters upstream, 20 meters downstream, and 5 meters channel where the project footprint. The permit shall adhere to a time of year restriction prohibiting in-stream construction activity from April 15th through June 15th and from August 15th through September 30th to protect finfish and other aquatic species. Staff, however, acknowledges that work within the cofferdam would not be constrained by the time of year restriction. Permittee agrees that should there be any unforeseen circumstances beyond their control that interrupts or otherwise postpones construction of the cofferdam, the permittee will coordinate with this agency prior to construction activities that would encroach into the time of year restriction. Permittee agrees to erect proper durable signage, warning signs, warning others of the presence of the intake structures. Finally, due to the fact that the work authorized by the original permit never commenced and the design has now changed, we believe it's reasonable for the Commission to consider revising the permit expiration date. Given the size and complexity of the project, we believe an expiration date of December 6, 2016, 5 years, is appropriate. Should the project not be completed within that time period, an extension, 5-year extension, could be requested and administratively approved, provided the request is made prior to the permit expiration. That completes my
Questions of Mr. Madden by members of the commission? Mr. Fox?
On one of your earlier aerial photos, the proposed intake
yes,
had some white dots around it. Is it to be marked in any way?
Maybe the first one?
It was the early one, yes.
Early when one. I hit it.
There, the white dots.
Oh, you know those white dots? They showed up on the, those are the, that's the cofferdam. You mean on the right-hand side there?
Yeah.
These show
the right-hand picture, but the left of the,
this thing
those
right
things, yes.
That's the
outline of the cofferdam.
Foot of the cofferdam, yeah. It just shows up on that, on this slide.
So there's no marking of this with signs saying don't anchor here?
No. We left that open. We did not close close the circle on that. We left that up to the applicant to come up with an appropriate form of signage. One of the difficulties is that if you put a sign up there and a flood comes through, it just knocks the sign down. Maybe perhaps buoys. That was something that you might want to mention to the agent. They're prepared to discuss that. Perhaps a buoy, non-buoy, something like that that could withstand the flow. Certainly, that's kind of where we're headed. But we didn't describe a particular type of signage or
okay,
warning device.
I just didn't know what the white dots were.
Yeah, that's just it. Show it. You'll see it on.
I think they're pointed left and right. If I can see my eyes are okay. And
if you look at section 2-1, 2-1 there, you'll see the triangle. It where they're okay. Black along there, it shows
okay.
Up.
Okay.
On white on that.
White on that.
Okay.
Further questions? I've got one that pertains to the turbulence that may occur during the backwash system. It says this turbulence will generally be confined within the footprint of the concrete sluicing channel. It's not expected to cause any erosion of the natural river bank or riverbed. Any monitoring contemplated on that? I know it's probably in the best interest of the owner, applicant, to make sure that that does not occur because that could denigrate the integrity of the overall structure, but is there any monitoring as far as the erosion been contemplated?
We didn't perceive that as an issue when we developed this this evaluation, but certainly that would be something that could easily be worked into as a permit condition.
We can ask the applicant.
Yeah, or maybe coordination with DGIF when the back flushing occurs.
Right. Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Madden. Is the applicant any further questions? Is the applicant present or represented? Mr. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
State your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, I'm John Daniel, partner with Troutman Sanders, and pleased to appear before you this morning on behalf of Henrico County. With me from Henrico County are Mr. Bill Moyer with Henrico County Public Utilities and Mr. Ed Overman, also with Henrico County. And Mr. Peterson with Arcadis, the project managing consulting engineers, is also present and likely the target of the technical questions we just discussed. If in reviewing your materials in preparation for today, some of you felt some familiarity with this project, you probably should. It's not a new project, as Mr. Madden has suggested, for the commission's consideration. In March of 2006, this commission authorized the original intake, which Mr. Madden has shown on the screens, for purposes of constructing the Cobbs Creek Reservoir Project. And as Mr. Madden further discussed, the Cobbs Creek Water Supply Project is one of the first regional water supply projects to have gone through the Regional Water Supply Planning Initiative on behalf of the Commonwealth. Its partners are Cumberland County, Henrico County, Powhatan, and Goochland County, which is supplied its water in large measure by Henrico County. Back in 2006, the project did receive permits from both the Corps of Engineers as well as the DEQ, and at that point in time, all major permits for the project were then in order. This commission was a result of reorganization among the member communities and various memorandum of agreements and action by the respective boards of supervisors in all those jurisdictions. it was agreed that the permits, which were originally obtained by Henrico County, would in fact be transferred to Henrico County. Henrico County would become the manager and frankly the payer, if you will, of the development of the project. So it's now that Henrico is managing the project, so they're paying the cost of the development and are currently working with the regional partners to do cost-sharing prorations based on volumes of water that will actually be received by the partner jurisdictions as a result of the operation of the reservoir. So we're simply here today to request, as Mr. Madden had suggested, permission and approval to utilize the intake system, which you see on the slide on the screen on the right, versus the originally proposed intake system, which was on the left. The major reason for that change, frankly, is that when originally proposed, the infiltration bed system was believed to be the latest and greatest, if you will, for purposes of less impact to the river. For whatever reasons, we now have some actual real-life experience as a result of the use of an infiltration bed for the power supply project a little bit further up the James River. I mean, that intake system has not been demonstrated to perform as perhaps folks originally thought that it might. It's created a lot of sedimentation problems, which then have to be cleaned out, and the operation and maintenance cost of that system seem to outweigh any benefits that may be achieved or which were originally thought to be achieved by virtue of putting forth that intake system. And there's in your materials, there is a very long and detailed analysis of that and the real-life experiences with the infiltration bed system and a critical analysis of various other alternatives which were considered prior to coming to you today to seek the intake system, which is suggested. Dr. Greg Garman, some of you who've lived through some other major water supply projects may have understood some issues that those involved with fisheries may have had. Dr. Greg Garman with VCU and Aquatic Resources was hired as a consultant in this project to go look at that stretch of the river. I'm sure his report is among your materials as well, but if you have that, his findings are delineated on page 5 of that report and conclude that no state or federally protected fishes are known to occur in this part of the James River. There are no abundant or common species in this reach of the James that are broadcast spawners. No resident species are considered high risk for impingement or entrainment effects, and no eggs or larvae of American shad or other anadroma species were collected. Should there be additional questions on that, again, Mr. Peterson is here and can help us with those. In short, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission, we wholeheartedly agree with your staff recommendation with the conditions that they have outlined in that. We're fortunate to have worked with both Mr. Watkinson and Mr. Madden to work through issues raised by the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries to result in the time of year restrictions, which are now suggested by staff, and we concur with those recommendations with regard to time of year restrictions. To my knowledge, there have not been any negative comments or concerns expressed by any other state agencies who have been given the opportunity to review the application. And so we appreciate very much the staff working with the various agencies to come to the recommendation that is before you today. There is, as Mr. Madden said, but a single protestant. Mr. Townsend has expressed his interest in this project and its alleged potential negative impact to a property known as Cobb Island. Mr. Townsend, as Mr. Madden indicated, has claimed some ownership of Cobb Island, but despite requests from your staff, there's been no demonstration of that ownership brought forward. I do understand he owns the shoreline property as well. Mr. Townsend had posed several questions in writing to the commission staff, the commission staff, asked that Mr. Peterson and his staff respond to those questions with respect to erosion and debris being reflected off the debris reflector. Those questions were provided and responses were provided to Mr. Townsend, and to this point we haven't heard anything else. There have been, I would tell you, I know Mr. Moyer from Henrico County and some of his staff have sat down with Mr. Townsend as this was being developed, obviously to and no ultimate resolve has been achieved by virtue of either the written responses nor the efforts at face-to-face conversation with respect to those concerns. The project specifications is submitted in the permit application and I believe is captured in the staff recommendation with the permit conditions as recommended. Clearly meet the criteria of section 28.2-1205, and as a result we would respectfully request that this commission approve the permit modification in accordance with those staff recommendations. I'd be pleased to answer any questions the commission may have, or more likely than not, I'll put my debris reflector up.
Questions of questions of member of the commission for Mr. Daniel. Mr. Daniel, pursuant to 28.2-1205, can you tell me approximately, if you have the number of citizens that will benefit from this project in the regional plan? Or can someone do that? As we weigh the benefits?
You know, I mean, I don't know that they do have a number. Mr. Moyer may have a number, but obviously before you can receive the necessary permits from the Department of Environmental Quality, you have to do it for a fairly detailed and sophisticated needs analysis, which shows that the population growth within a reasonable amount of time is going to be there to accommodate the amount of water you're seeking to utilized from the public trust, if you will. So,
do you have a number, Bill?
Sure. Well, I do. Both anyone that may testify in this matter, including a protestant, if he's not represented by counsel, would you stand, raise your right hand, and be sworn. You solemnly swear the testimony you're giving this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Moyer, please. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Bill Moyer. I'm the Assistant Director of the Public Utilities Department for Henrico County. And to your question of how many citizens will benefit from the project, currently there are approximately 300,000 citizens in Henrico County connected to public water. This reservoir is foreseen to be a 50-year water supply supplement, at which point Henrico County by itself would have 500,000 to 600,000 residents. That's our projection. Then we have to add the Cumberland residents and Powhatan residents. Henrico also serves Goochland County, and we have a contract to provide them up to 5 million gallons of water as long as we have a water treatment plant. I don't fully know the population.
5 million per day?
5 million gallons per day.
Thank you.
For Goochland County.
Right.
So I don't know exactly how many residents the other counties have, but I would say over 50 years, 100,000 might be a round number. So 600,000 to 700,000 people will benefit over the 50-year projection of the reservoir.
Thank you, sir. Further questions of members of the commission? Mr. Fox, you have a technical question, or about Mr. Daniel?
Well, I think Mr. Daniel can answer.
Proceed, please.
Where does the water get put back into the river?
At Cobbs Creek. It's brought in at the intake system, and it's goes back out at the same location. Pumped into the reservoir fills.
We don't use the same pipes.
No.
Separate.
Okay. Separate, yeah. We're good.
Any other questions, members of the commission?
One question.
Mr. Tankard?
The back flushing, is that, what's that going to really be like, and how often will that occur, and what will it sound like?
Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Peterson?
Jeff, do you have the...
State your name for the record, please.
Paul Peterson. I'm with Arcadis. we are the engineering firm hired by Henrico County to do the engineering services, and I'm the project manager for the engineering team.
Can I use the slide? Arrow and back and forth right there. Any the way you want.
The water jet nozzles shown on this permit sketch number two. Here along the bases of the sidewalls and here at the inlet channel, that's how the water is proposed to go back into the river. It will not be through the screens, but through the water jet pipes that are going to be along the base of these sluicing channels. These are going to be openings that will also help flush and move any fines out of the sluicing channel. And then the question about frequency and what is it going to sound like?
So that's where
the water, Fox.
That's where the water will be put back into the river when it's needed?
That's correct, sir. So the water is going to be withdrawn through the T-screen frameworks and put back into the river through the water jet nozzles, which are on the bottoms of the sluicing channels.
Okay, and when that water is being, well, are we acting on the whole thing, or are we just acting on the withdrawal?
I'll let Mr. Kugelman address it, but the bottom line is all we're acting upon is what is beyond the low water mark. Anything beyond the low water mark, you're acting upon it. I think the problem, what we need to distance ourselves from is any upland issues. So anything that's beyond the low water mark, and Mr. Kugelman, correct me if I'm wrong, that's in the jurisdiction of the Marine Resources Commission, as far as a permit, we are acting upon.
So this is not just an intake system. This is a exit system.
Once it hits beyond the low water mark, I would say yes.
Okay. So when the water is being put back in, do you have any concerns about erosion caused by the increased flow at that time?
That was my question, if I could, just to put them together. That was also the question I had in related to monitoring pertaining to the erosion due to the back flushing as well. So they're both together.
Right. Okay, let me try to address those. First of all, the channel that we're working in here, when you get down to the actual bottom of the channel, this is a very rocky, fractured bedrock-type riverbed. There's not a lot of fine material. Once these intake channels are built, they're going to be heavily armored with respect to the concrete and steel that's used in these. The airburst backwash is not going to have any erosion impact within the sluicing channel where its impact is confined. This is very strong material that will be built out of. As far as the water jet nozzles where the water's coming back in, we want to resuspend any fine material that is in the bottom, and that's part of the purpose of having those in the bottom is to help keep the flushing the water and material through those channels. Overall, we don't think that's going to be a big problem because of the debris deflectors are going to be diverting large material away from the intake channels. But any fine material that makes it in there, these water jet nozzles should help flush that through. So I don't see erosion because of the armoring and the type of riverbed, but there will be normal material that comes down the river, and we just keep trying to pass it right on by the intake.
I guess
Mr. Fox.
Maybe I have a misunderstanding. Water is going to be drawn in here, put in the reservoir.
That's correct.
All right, and then the water from the reservoir, in order to get to the people who are going to drink it, how is that water conveyed? It's not put back in the river and tapped out further down, or is it?
What will happen is the the agencies who allocate water, which in this case is the DEQ, is going to be writing the permit conditions so that they increase allocations for Henrico County and its partners for their withdrawals from the James River as long as they're tied into the reservoir project. So in exchange for these releases made through the channel, which rely on reservoir storage, those that are party to this project will be able to get increased allocations for their permits that involve James River withdrawals downstream.
Okay. All right. So
Henrico County's
goes back in the river,
well downstream.
Conveyed down the river, and then they draw it out down the river.
Yeah, the conduit becomes the river.
Okay.
And then based on, we can only take out when it's flowing high, when it's flowing low, our agreement with DEQ and the permit is we put back in.
And then when you put it back in, you're putting it back in through these jets.
Correct. And then it benefits low flows down river.
Okay, and you're not worried about erosion of the far shore or anything when you're putting it back in?
No. We've done detailed computational fluid dynamics modeling in three dimensions to look at how to design these intake systems, and there's the the flow patterns that are affected are really right around these channels. They wouldn't extend all the way across to the Fluvanna side of the river.
Okay. I think Mr. Tankard also had a question on sound level. Can you give us maybe an idea of what the back flushing, air rushing, for lack of a better description, would sound like in terms of some type of comparable object that we're familiar with?
Oh, gee, I don't know how many decibels. You know, the back flushing is a turbulent thing. You know, you have that air coming to the surface in these screens. I can say that when these are normally back flush, you do it in a sequence where you don't do them all at once.
Right.
You kind of progress from upstream to downstream so that you're not doing the whole thing at once. I've been at an intake just like this where these have been back flushed and stood right near it. And, I mean, it's very visible with the bubbling, but
right.
The noise, I never really appreciated that as being a big issue. I mean, it's a visible thing. You wouldn't want to be standing right, you know, on top of that, obviously.
Sure.
But I never perceived it as being real noisy.
Loud as a lawnmower?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. How often?
Well, that would depend on the nature of how much material.
Well, let me rephrase that. In duration, when you're blowing one jet at a time, how long does it take to blow that jet?
That's going to be design thing, you know, how we design it, how strong we do the air compressors that
okay.
go into this. I mean, I can't give you that. There's no definite answers to how long, but it's usually a matter of a few seconds. No, not minutes, but
okay.
less than a minute type of thing.
Does that answer your question? Further questions of the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Anyone else on behalf of the applicant or anyone in support of this project wish to be heard? Anyone in opposition to the project wish to be heard? Sir? Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
State your name for the record, please.
Ben Townsend.
Mr. Townsend, good to have you here.
I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Ours is yours.
To address you. I got to calm myself down because of, well, first of all, in the letter that you have in front of you, it said Mr. Townsend also claims part ownership of Cobb Island. I do not claim part ownership of it. It was deeded to my wife and I in the year 2000, March of 2000, 614 acres plus the island. It was deeded, was surveyed, and deeded as such. So it's not a thing that I'm out here talking about because I don't take ownership.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay, this was a dream I chased in all of our life. I mean, my life, I wanted a piece of property, found this, got it in 2000. My concern through all of this is what's going to happen to the island. Okay, I know we've got numbers. These guys are engineers. I'm not. I'm old school. I use common sense and logic. And when you look over here and you see concrete stairs, riprap, and all of this stuff, and then the islands across from it, and you talk about a cofferdam, which they say will be proposed, anticipated. Okay, wait a minute. Work in the river during the high flow winter and early spring months is not anticipated. Anticipated to me is an open-ended. When you tell me anticipated, yeah, what if you run into something in flood waters? I was told earlier that there wouldn't be up during flood waters. Mr. Madden, you just alluded to just a moment ago that you didn't want to put buoys down there because what happens if the flood comes through and washes those buoys away? That cofferdam is there. The flood comes through. That island is going to just eventually, to me, go away. Okay. Sitting here earlier listening to your first case, I don't want to be in Mr. Velasky or whatever his name was, the gentleman's shoes one day saying, hey, I need to riprap this island. It's 34.6 acres. I don't want to lose it. And I hate to see it destroyed. I'll end up down the river in the bay or wherever. But do I have to come back and say, can I get a permit to riprap it? Is that my expense because of this? These are concerns. Yes, I was concerned about the fishery, the endangering there. Not long range, but while it's being constructed. Can't tell me you're going to do this and not destroy it. I've floated a river. I've been on it for 11 years in that particular area because I live there. I've seen what it can do in flood times, and it's yeah, you got certain dates in history that the thing has flooded. But who's to say it won't hit while that coffer dam's up there? And then that water goes to the island, thus the erosion. You mentioned about the power plant upriver. They thought that was the greatest thing in the world, I guess, when they built it. They spent the money to build it. As you just heard, it failed. What if 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, I'm 69, I don't know if I'll be here or not, but my kids hopefully will be able to still have the property. What if this fails, you know? And I go back to the island, and we own what you saw in the earlier picture, the shoreline there. It's about a mile of James River shoreline on the other side of the island. But if you look at the distance from the cofferdam to the island, picture flood, which was alluded to earlier, if you wash the buoys away, it's just going to, to me, accelerate the erosion of that island. I'm not here to stop the project. I think it's, the project's a wonderful thing. I can't see you fellas not going through with it because it's going to impact a lot of people's lives. I'm talking about an island that God put here many years ago that we're just overlooking and saying, what the heck with it? In essence, that's what I feel like, okay? And with me not having any recourse, I'm sitting here, okay, Lynn, you don't have to riprap it one day if these guys' numbers and everything flops. What does it fall back on? Fall back on me, and the island's no longer there. Is any questions to me as far as ownership of the property? I'm under oath, and I'll look anyone in the eye here and tell you I do own it. It was deeded to me.
I was asked to by
Mr. Madden did call me. He did. I left you a message. When do they need it? I never got a response. The other message was, after talking with Jeff Haslip's office, he's the one that deeded it. Jeff's the, what is he now, Attorney General or something of Fluvanna County. But anyway, he's the one that deeded the property to me. It's in another law office now. They looked it up and said, Mr. Townsend, there's no question. It's in the bank vault, but I just didn't see why prove something. I mean, if they really want to know.
Mr. Townsend, for the record, I think at this juncture we'll take notice during the course of deliberations of that consideration.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Ours is yours. Any questions of Mr. Townsend? Mr. Schick?
Yes, sir.
No question.
Thank you.
I can't remember what.
Mr. Tankard.
Do you currently have erosion there on the island?
Yes, sir. I alluded to that in my first letter that I responded to these folks. I don't know if you have a copy of that, Matt. I do. I got too many notes. That was in my original letter back to them. This is what I had responded back to Mr. Madden on October the 28th. As I stated earlier in my conversation, I do have concerns about the project's potential impact on our property and island directly opposite the proposed intake. I also feel that this proposed project will have severe long-term detrimental impacts on the fish, wildlife, and Chesapeake Bay, and that's just my belief. Anyway, that's... The project needs to go on. It needs to go on. I'm concerned with the island, I guess. As you know, we own the island known as Cobb's Island. This island and our land along the river has sustained extensive erosion over the 11 years we've owned the property. The erosion has resulted in the loss of many old trees that have protected the riverbanks for numerous years. I realize this is normal for river property, as we are at the mercy of Mother Nature. Some of my concerns are, and then I went on to list the concerns. I'm saying that the erosion that we have seen, and you're going to see it on the river, I'm talking about huge 100-year-old trees, and you will try to plant, preserve, and all this stuff, fighting a battle there to have concrete and riprap and no plan of protection of the island presented to me, I guess, in summary. Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Sussums?
Thank you. What component of that project do you envision is going to create additional erosion on your island?
All of these things that I addressed, did you, the, the various things that I addressed, they did answer it, okay? Like you mentioned, the water coming up, you know, when it's flushing. I can't visualize that. I don't know. I mean, I know what they're saying. I'm not an engineer. But to me, anytime you got any disturbance of water, you're going to create something. And it may be as minute as nothing, and I know they say that it's not going to go all the way across the river. They say, you know, I don't know. And take, I look at two, and they, I don't want to talk out of turn here, but I'm looking, is this concrete stairs and steps and riprap where normal vegetation is at this point in time? It, you know, if that's, I don't know what that line is, if that's what that is, in my concluding statement, I see all the above, if constructed, as a direct and clear path to the ultimate destruction of our island and riverfront property. Dirt and trees seem like an unfair match against concrete and riprap. And I said, thanks for the opportunity to express my heartfelt concerns for this project. I anxiously await a response to the to alleviate my concerns. Were my concerns alleviated? No. Did they answer them? Yes. But I still have a concern of the erosion. I'm not an engineer. Don't profess to be. But there's so many things going on that's based on statistics from someone sitting in an office somewhere and an engineer extracting data. But who's to say that day when that flood's going to come through and wash the buoys away that he alluded to earlier could happen. It's just going to rise and destroy the island quicker.
So. Thank you. Mr. Schick.
Did you consult an engineer of your own or
no, sir, somebody? I did not. I'm just going, I told you before, I'm basing this nothing except on common sense and whatever. I mean, you look at it, you see it. I've been there for 11 years. I know what's happened. I just know, having been on other rivers and other places, it's not. I own some property at Smith Mountain Lake. I own a lot there. I had to put riprap there because of the boats constant going by, and eventually, you know, it beat the shoreline up, and we had to do that. But this river, it's Mother Nature, you know, and I did never envision of having to riprap it, but I never envisioned having dirt versus trees, which to me, if they're both the same, is a fair fight. But a fair fight between trees and dirt, concrete and it's not a fair fight.
Thank you. Okay. Further questions?
Any other?
Thank you, Mr. Townsend.
Thank you.
Mr. Daniel, you have 3 minutes to rebut, wrap it up. I'm sorry, Ralph. Anyone else in opposition to the project? Mr. Daniel? Or whomever you'd like.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I really don't have a lot. I think Mr. Townsend has come here and told you exactly what he thinks based on common sense and logic. I'm not an engineer either. We all know that. The engineers, and there's some superlative ones on this project, have modeled these ramifications and have told you that they don't anticipate those to be problems. Whether or not there will or will not, you know, we all will wait and see that. But the best science would tell you that they're not anticipated. And, you know, given the balancing of the public interest and the private interest here, I still maintain that the project squarely falls within meeting the parameters of 28.2-1205, and we again would ask that you issue the permit respectively. So.
Thank you, Mr. Daniel. Any further questions, Mr. Daniel? Mr. Fox?
Mr. Daniel, I'm sure it's in the document somewhere, but Mr. Townsend's primary concern seems to be the time interval when the cofferdam is up. How long is the cofferdam going to be up?
It's 45 to 60 days to construct, and it'll be up for how long, Paul?
The cofferdam construction period, that John said, is envisioned to be 4 to 6 weeks.
That'll get it up. Yeah.
Once we have the cofferdam up, we'll be working around the clock, I'm sure, to construct all of the intake facilities as fast as possible so that we can get out of the river as fast as possible. We don't have a detailed construction schedule that we put together for the intake system. If you approve this permit modification, this gives us more assurance that we can hopefully get done in one construction season. which is a very big positive of this project that probably would not have been possible with the original infiltration bed involving a much larger cofferdam and larger construction footprint. So our hope is that we can get in and out in one construction season, putting the cofferdam in the time of year that we're allowed, which is going to be mid-June to mid-August, doing the work as rapidly as possible and getting out before the wintertime higher flow season when we'd be more likely to see a cofferdam be overtopped. So
your objective is, it sounds like about 2 months.
The construction activity on the cofferdam, I think, would probably take longer than 2 months, but I don't have a detailed schedule for that at this point. That's, you know, I have to work with the contractor at that time to develop that. But it could be that if we get the cofferdam up before the time of year restriction, which I think is mid-August, that we would have several good months of August, September, October, even into November to do construction during the lowest flow periods of the year. And by the time we get into December, it gets more dicey based on flow statistics. We'd rather be out of it. So we'll be working to stay within those low flow months of the year and try to finish up. But we don't have a detailed construction schedule put together for the interim.
So when you start working, it'll be in what, June?
We would start at like June 16th, the first day.
June 16th, and run maybe to November 16th.
We would install the cofferdam and get it up as quickly as possible, starting on June the 16th.
So you're talking about 4 months or something like that.
Construction could actually extend into November, which would be more like 5 months. November is still a very good month to be working in the river. You know, if we can finish sooner, we'll be out sooner, but we want to commit that we're going to do it sooner than actually is possible.
Okay. Further questions? Mr. Lane, then Mr. Tankard. Mr. Lane?
Really more a comment than a question. I note you talk about August and September is hurricane season, too, so you can get a pretty good flow down that due to them.
That's correct. There's a risk of that, and that's the risk that any contractor is going to have with the cofferdam is how high to build it and how, you know, try to compress the construction in the shorter period of time as possible. Statistically, the higher flows are typically, you know, mid to late winter and spring are your highest flows. But you're right, a hurricane can happen in August. They do.
Mr. Tankard?
So what you're saying here, as I understand it, is that you understand that there could be erosion to Mr. Townsend's property as a result of the cofferdam. Is that correct?
Cofferdam period is going to be the most critical in terms of constraining flow in the river to a smaller cross section. So we want to get in and out of there as soon as possible. I would say again that the original concept we had that Jeff reviewed is a much larger, lengthier period of construction. And I want to remind you that what we're proposing here is to hopefully reduce the impacts on the river and reduce the potential erosion that may occur during that construction period. Kind of unavoidable. You have to have that cofferdam. You want to do it as quickly as possible and minimize our risk result, minimize risk to Mr. Townsend's property, obviously. There is some risk with the cofferdam.
Further, Mr. Tankard?
So if you say there is risk, Mr. Townsend, would you be willing to make any concession to potential damages to his property as a result of the cofferdam?
Daniel,
it probably should be looking at me. At this point, Mr. Tankard, given the science and the investigations that the engineers and consultants have done, I think it may be premature to consider that. I'll tell you that if experience were different, and as you know or may know, Henrico has a intake system. They operate in western Henrico County. It's been operating for 7 years. There have been no it was constructed similar fashion, and it's different system, but it was same time of same restrictions when you could be in the river and so forth, and there hasn't been any indication in real life of erosion to neighboring property. So given that, you know, my thought without talking to Mr. Moria would be that it would be premature to be talking about that at this time, given the science and real-life experience. So,
further questions? No, sir. No, I'm sorry. That's just the rules. That's okay. No problem. I appreciate your concern. Further questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of follow-up questions for staff with respect to potential risk of erosion, and just wanted to ask relative to considerations about potential impacts of the period when the cofferdam is in place. The erosion that's occurring on the island, would the risk of that erosion be greatest during the periods when the river is in a high flow state? I mean, the riverbed has been described as being comprised of relatively hard materials. So is the risk of erosion greatest during these periods of high flow?
I will give you some perspective on, I think, what we've gleaned from looking at the topographic information submitted by the applicant and, of course, their comments and responses to those questions. And first of all, I would like to say that, you know, we had the same kind of questions in response to Mr. Townsend's complaints and just our evaluation of the project relative to 1205. But I think if you look at some of the topographic information provided by the applicant, and I'm not sure exactly which figures in the application show it, as you reach the ordinary high water elevations, which is a higher than normal flow, obviously, those elevations appear to be about as high or higher than the island itself. So as the water rises during higher water events, when you expect more erosion, the island's basically, much of the island's underwater anyway, I think. So as a result of that consideration and, you know, the responses to the applicant, we felt that their responses were compelling and their analysis of the applicant was compelling, that it shouldn't be an overwhelming problem, not to say there aren't unforeseen circumstances, and that may be something that the applicant would have to address later if that became an issue.
Robbins, and if I may follow up, just in light of that, and in light of the fact that there is ongoing erosion with the island itself, I would think it might be difficult to design a monitoring program that would actually isolate the effects of this project on the subject property. I mean, if you have any insight into that.
I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, at what point would you tell the work had any effect, or was it just the degree of the storm and the nature of the storm that caused the high water event in the river? It's going to be difficult.
Further questions? Mr. Plumlee?
During the course of the hearing, I think there may be a potential conflict for me to hear and to consider this matter. And if I had known about it in advance, I would have abstained in advance of the hearing. But my office does a normal check before and would alert me to any conflict. I wasn't alerted to this potential conflict. I'm not sure if there's actually an actual conflict. So I'm going to abstain.
For the record, I don't think that you have made any comment at the present time that would prejudice this case one way or the other. So at the present time, further abstention from any deliberation is so noted. Further questions? Mr. Tankard?
Just one further question. So you stated that Mr. Watkinson, I'm sorry, I didn't correct my question. So what you said just a moment ago is that on flood events, this island is overwhelmed with water. This is submerged.
If you look at these topographic elevations down during the 180 to low 190 ranges, I believe, my glasses are telling me correctly, 192. And on the, let's see if I can get the cross-section drawing here, you see the ordinary high water elevation depicted there, and I think that's about at 195. So that suggests that the island, portions of the island at least, would be underwater during ordinary high water events, and that's not accounting for even higher flood.
Okay. So to follow up on that, unless you have something.
I had my follow up.
Mr. Tankard?
Yeah. So, thus, what you're saying is this is not a habitable island. This is not a piece of real estate of great value.
That it would be.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Schick, then Mr. Fox.
Now, so since most of the island in a high water event would be topped over with water, you're talking about the width of the entire river as opposed to the restricted width between the island and the cofferdam would be a maximum impact of erosion. The island is not a constricted situation between the cofferdam and the island. It's between actually the other side of the bank of the river and the cofferdam at that point in time, because the island is topped over with water. The volume is so much that that the erosion is not going to be that much difference to the island whether the cofferdam was there or not.
Under extreme high water.
High water, right.
Fair assessment.
Okay.
Mr. Fox?
I'll pass.
Further questions? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Robbins?
Mr. Chairman, I'm sensitive to the concerns that we've heard today from the protestant, and I think that there is potentially some opportunity for impact related to this project on the island in terms of some erosion impact, and yet it seems that potential is temporary, and I think it's being specifically mitigated by the time of year restriction, which is designed to keep the one of the consequences of that restriction is to keep it in the river and limit the time during the river there when it's relatively lower water levels. So, but looking also at the staff's analysis of this, I think they've pointed out that by design, the debris reflector or debris deflector and the overall design of the project should have relatively little impact within the river. And so I think they've done a good job of documenting the benefits of the project. Again, I am sensitive to the potential impacts, but believe they have been somewhat mitigated. And I think, as we heard, it would be difficult to design a monitoring program that would specifically isolate the impacts of this project on the adjacent property. If that were easily done, I would certainly be open to exploring a monitoring requirement, but I think it would be difficult to tie that directly to the project. So with that, I would offer a motion to approve the project together with the permit conditions that have been recommended by staff.
Second to the motion, Mr. Schick. Further discussion? Mr. Tankard.
Yes, I concur with Mr. Robbins. It seems to me that there may well be some erosion, but at the same time, I think we've taken the best steps that we can to mitigate this kind of problems. And sure, this island might not be habitable, but it does have value to Mr. Townsend. But it seems to me that the project should go forward as we have summarized it. And so I would vote for this project.
Further comments? For the record, I concur with my colleagues. I think in a situation like this, pursuant to Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia, it's incumbent upon the Commission to seek the best available science they have at their avail when it comes to conclusion in making this decision. I believe that the record is replete with these type of scientific studies. I understand the concern of the protestant. We never know for certain in the best engineering practices what ultimately will occur, but I think that's how we have progressed through the ages as far as science is concerned. I also know that Section 28.2.1205 of the Code of Virginia requires that we weigh the public and private benefits and detriments, and that's the specific reason that I ask for the number of citizens that will be positively impacted by water supply with years to come. So for that reason, I intend to support the motion. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Let the record reflect Mr. Plumlee is abstained. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Townsend.